Our scripture reading for today comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Also, one can be overpowered, but two together can put up resistance. A three-ply cord doesn't easily snap. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Feel like your life is just kind of fraying around the edges just a little bit? And so, obviously someone does. Or those days when you feel like you're just about at the end of the rope. Or sometimes in those seasons of your life when you feel like you're going down for the third time and somebody needs to throw you a rope. If any of these things resonate in your life today, know that you are not alone. We live in an increasingly complicated, chaotic world that seems to be fraying around the edges. We seem to be living in a world that is not working so well anymore. I mean, just look what happened last week with Delta Airlines. They had a computer shutdown that shut down their entire system. Thousands upon thousands of people were stranded in airports all around the globe. My younger sister spent 19 hours in the Atlanta airport sitting on the floor because there were so many people there, there were no chairs available. She was on four flights. All four of them were canceled. Then she stood in line with 300 people to get on standby for two flights, which she did not make. Finally, after 19 hours, she got the last seat on the last plane out of Atlanta at 2 o'clock in the morning. Can you imagine? I mean, God bless those travelers, and God bless those Delta employees who had to deal with those travelers. And I suspect if we ask any of those people, are you at the end of your rope, they would have all said, yes. Yes, we are. But here's the thing. Travel issues, they can be managed. But what about the other things that are going on in our world? What about the upcoming presidential elections this fall? Now, some of you here are die-hard Clinton supporters. Some of you here are die-hard Trump supporters. And please notice those names were in alphabetical order. That's very important for you to notice that. And some of us here feel like we have no choice at all in this election. But regardless of where we stand, I think we have one thing we can agree on. This is one of the most divisive, one of the ugliest political campaigns in living memory. I have had numerous people make the same kind of nervous joke with me, and they usually conclude it this way. If so-and-so wins, I guess I'm going to have to move to Canada. And I always tell them, no, go to New Zealand. The weather is much, much better than Canada. All kidding aside, you know, it feels like the political system, it's beginning to fray around the edges these days. And it makes us worry, and it makes us feel afraid, especially for the future of our country. But our fear is not just for our country. It's for our lives and the lives of the people we love. Weak. After week after week, it is the same terrible news. Attacks by terrorists or sick and violent individuals with no regard for human life. And we become afraid. I mean, these terrible things are happening all around the world, and they're happening in our own country. And then we begin to wonder, what if they happen here? Are our children safe at school? Are we safe at work? I mean, are we safe here at church? The world, it really seems to be fraying around the edges. And there is fear, and there is disbelief, and we really want some answers. And that is why we are beginning this new sermon series today called Frayed. We want to explore how to respond faithfully in a world that seems to be unraveling. I mean, what do we say? What do? How do we live in a frayed world? Well, many of the answers can be found in Scripture in the messy, frayed stories of people just like you and me. You remember Jacob? You remember when he was running for his life from the brother that he had lied and cheated? Jacob had lost it all. His home, his family, his future. He was at the end of his rope. And even though he did not know it at the time, God was already weaving and connecting his life back to God. And someday that same God would bring Jacob home again. Or what about the great prophet Elijah? At his hour of greatest triumph, he defeated the priests of Baal, one prophet against 450 priests, and Elijah wins. I mean, this is his moment. This is his stand on the front of the ship, I'm the king of the world moment. It was perfect until he found out that Queen Jezebel had put a death sentence on his head. And as he fled, he gave up. He runs for his life, but he has given up. I mean, he even tells God, let me die now, O Lord. And so we find Elijah. He's hiding in a cave. He's lost all hope. He's ready to die. And if you had thrown him a rope at that particular time in his life, he probably would have not grabbed a hold of it. But then God shows up. God always shows up. Even in the most frayed places of our lives, we are not alone. There was a terrible wind, but God was not in the wind. There was an earthquake that shook the mountain, but God was not in that earthquake. There was a fire, but God was not in that fire. Only in the small, still voice did Elijah hear the voice of God, reminding him that he was not alone. And last but never least, we see Peter, the disciple, standing in the darkness in the courtyard outside of the house of the high priest after denying his Lord, his Jesus, his friend, three times. Can't you see him there, broken with guilt and regret and shame, weeping in the darkness? But God would not abandon Peter. God actually reached out to Peter so their relationship could be mended and restored. You see, no matter how we manage to blow up our lives, no matter how great a mess we make of them, God is in the business of weaving those frayed lives back together. God is actually weaving this world back together. Our scripture reading this morning from the book of Ecclesiastes was written for such a time as this. The author is known as the teacher, and the teacher addresses prosperous people who think material possessions will bring them lasting satisfaction. That has a familiar sound to it, doesn't it, in our world? The teacher argues that wealth and power that people strive for, those things are as unreliable as a puff of wind. So what does matter? Here's some more words from our scripture this morning. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their hard work. If either should fall, one can pick the other up. But how miserable are those who fall and don't have a companion to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they can stay warm. But how can anyone stay warm alone? Also, one can be overpowered, but two together can put up resistance. A three-ply cord doesn't easily snap. In a world that feels like it's falling apart, our text this morning reminds us of the only thing that matters. It's the connections. It's the relationships. It's the threads that bind us to God and to one another. Never forget that God is weaving this world together. It has been that way from the very beginning. We all remember the creation story. There was nothing, and God created something. There was light, there was darkness, there was heaven, there was earth, and God made sure they were intimately connected. God created the vegetables and the plants and the trees and the fruit and all kinds of animals, and then God created us and told us to take care of His world. Do you see what God is doing? God is taking these separate components and He is creating something brand new. God is weaving creation together. But He did not stop there. Again and again in Scripture, we see God reaching out to a disobedient people. In the book of Judges, they call it the cycle of sin. The people are faithful to God. They follow God's instructions, and life is good. But then, as human beings are wont to do, they begin to do what they want to do, and they fall away from God, and chaos ensues. And so they turn back to God. And what does God do? He brings them back. He weaves those threads of connection again. We see it over and over. God did it with the judges, with the kings, with the prophets. And finally, God Himself showed up and taught us up close and personal what this world was created to be like. A beautiful world where all are welcome, all are loved, all are connected. And no one is left out. This world and our lives are woven together just like the threads on a loom. Have you ever looked at the backside of a piece of tapestry? Look at that photo there. I don't know about you, but that looks like a hot mess to me. I mean, it really does. There are loose threads, there are knots, there are frayed edges everywhere you look. I mean, from the back, all we see are the mistakes, the imperfections. It looks random. I mean, it looks chaotic. There's no beauty there, no pattern, nothing to admire. And let's be honest, sometimes our world looks exactly like that, messy and ugly, with absolutely no hope of change. But we have to remember there is another side to that tapestry. It is possible to see how it all fits together. From the front, we can see every frayed knot, every messy stitch had a purpose. And it was a part of a beautiful, magnificent picture. But only the awesome power of the divine can weave together the threads of this world and the threads of our lives. Only God has the ability to see beyond time and beyond worlds and into our souls and create the beauty and the purpose, even when we cannot. Now, I know that this world seems frightening and afraid. I feel that myself. I understand that. But here's the thing, believe it or not, statistics show that we are safer now than we were 20 years ago. Violent crime is down in almost all of our major cities. We're safer in so many ways. We're safer in our cars because the laws are tougher. Our kids are safer because that we have child seat laws. And most of us here live in the three safest cities in Alabama: Helena, Pelham, and Alabaster. It was in the Alabaster Reporter just this last week. Despite what is happening around us, the odds of being a victim of a terrorist attack are literally one in a million. Now, I know that is of no comfort to people who have lost family and friends in one of those terrible attacks. But here's the thing. In the midst of this fraying world, we need to remember we do not follow a God of fear. And we were not created to live in fear. I mean, part of it is our culture and the way we're living. The moment anything bad happens anywhere in the world, the media lets us know. And our fear goes up, and so do their ratings. Some politicians, not all, but some politicians use fear as a weapon to gain our vote. If my opponent wins, your life and the life of everyone you love and the very future of your country is doomed. Even the ads and the commercials are based on fear. If you don't buy this kind of car, your family will not be safe on the freeway. If you don't purchase this brand of makeup, you will look ugly and you will never get a date. If you don't wear our deodorant, no one will sit next to you, not even in church. You see, the voices of this frayed and messy world are so loud. And sometimes it's so hard to hear that small, still voice of God, but that's our job, is to listen and to hear. We have to remember the promises of God. We have to focus on the beautiful side of the tapestry. But how in the world do we do that in a world of negativity and pain? I recently read an excellent article from UnitedMethodistChurch.org. I encourage you to go online if you want to read it. The article's called Ways to Keep the Faith When the World is Wicked. And I want to share three things with you this morning. How do we live in a negative world? You find some good news. Because there's some good news out there. You just have to find it. I recently discovered through this article a video about a United Methodist pastor who's serving down in Mobile, right here in Alabama. Now, like many of us, he and his sister were caring for aging parents. And after his father Charles's death, it became necessary to move his mother out of the home and into a nursing home near her daughter. Here in Birmingham, she just needed more attention. She just needed better health care. His mother did not want to go. In fact, she refused to go unless he would make one promise to her. And this is what she asked him. Each week, he was to go to the side of his father's grave. He was to call his mom on the cell phone, and he was to hold the phone out so she could talk to her husband, Charles. Now, I admit that sounds a little odd. I admit that sounds a little strange, but you know what? He was a Southern boy, and good Southern boys always do what their mama asks. And so he did it. Every week, week after week, he goes to the side of his father's grave, and he holds out the cell phone after he calls his mom. Now, of course, he could hear what his mother was saying, and he heard some amazing things, stories about how they met, when they were dating, what their early life was like, when the children were born, silly things that happened on vacation. I mean, it was funny, and it was beautiful, and it was just all mixed up together until the last phone call. He had been officiating at a funeral at that same cemetery, and so while he was there, he just called his mom, and he said, "Mom, you know, I'm right here at the cemetery. Would you like to talk to Dad?" And she said, "Yes, I would." So he holds the phone over his father's grave, and this is what he hears his mother say, "Charles, I think I'm at the end of my life now." And there was a very long emotional pause on both sides of that conversation. And then his mother continues, "Charles, if you are in heaven, you tell Jesus to come get me." But then she continued, "If you are not in heaven, do not mention my name to anyone." This world that God has given us, I mean, it's so beautiful and so wonderful, even in the midst of joy and sorrow. So beautiful. And that's why it's so important. You got to find some good news. You got to find it. But there's something else we've got to do as well. We have got to read the good news more than we do. I mean, there are so many passages in the Bible that speak to such a time as this. And let me tell you something. We are not the first people who believe the world is fraying at the edges. We are not the first people who have ever lived who feel like strangers in a strange land. We are not the first people who feel like we are in exile from the way the world was meant to be. Hear the voice of the prophet Jeremiah across the ages speaking to us today. The Lord proclaims, I will come and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Listen to this part. I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with all your heart, you will find me. I will be present for you, declares the Lord, and I will end your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have scattered you, and I will bring you home after your long exile, declares the Lord. How do we live in this frayed and negative world? We find the good news and we read the good news, but perhaps most important of all, we become the good news. I think one of the reasons we feel afraid so much of the time is because we feel helpless. I mean, what can we do in a world that feels like it's falling apart? I mean, the problems are too big. We can't conquer disease. We can't stop terrorism. But there are some things we can do. There are problems right here in our own neighborhood, in our own city, where we can be a part of the solution. We can be the good news of Jesus Christ. I mean, just look at what we've been doing this summer for children. You know, we made sure teachers didn't have to pay for childcare this week. And the entire months of June and July, our folks fed lunch to hungry children Monday through Friday. And there are so many more ways to reach out and be the good news. I mean, you can volunteer for a work project through Jesus Works. You can knit a prayer shawl to comfort those who are ill. You can donate a day a week to read at an at-risk child. There are dozens and dozens of ways to plug in and to be the good news of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. When it is all been said and done, there is one consistent message from Genesis to Revelation. God is weaving this broken, hurting world back together. All is not lost because God is always doing a new thing. God is not finished. God is still weaving the world and us together with threads of hope and mercy and grace and peace. And when we reach the end of our lives, or even the end of this world, God will still be there with us. My sisters and my brothers, do not fear, for God has already overcome this world. And because of that, in life, in death, in life after death, God is with us. Thanks be to God. May we pray. Gracious and holy Lord, through the power of your words, through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the power and the pattern that Jesus showed us, you remind us again and again that all is not lost and that you are weaving this world back together. In great humility, O Lord, we ask you now, let us be a part of the tapestry of your world. We lift these things in the most blessed name of Christ Jesus. Amen.